The Scottish Parliament in Edinburgh played host to an event entitled Sound of Vision. It was the culmination of a training project created by Stephen Sutherland. I spoke to Stephen to find out more about the idea and where he received help to create the event.
I spoke to James Adams, the director for RNIB in Scotland. James had mentioned the Glasgow Speakers Club, and so he put me in touch with them. And then that's, as I said in my speech actually during the event, is that's when I met with Grace Henry Nash, who's the leader of the Glasgow Speakers Club. And together we decided to put the 8-week programme that the young speakers had participated in together. But a few weeks later I thought about, well, how is this all going to end? Is it just going to fizzle out after the 8-week programme? Or can we do something to continue it? And then I thought about, have a final presentation. My time as an MSYP came into mind, and so I thought about having the event at the Scottish Parliament, and so I had written to them to find out if it was possible, and indeed it was, providing that a panel thought that the idea would be good enough, and they did. And so it just grew arms and legs and went from an idea to this big event, and I'm delighted at the progress of it.
The support was there, but what made Stephen believe this course would be positive for blind and partially sighted young people?
So the main aim was for them to build their confidence. It was also about them feeling more comfortable with accepting their disability and being confident with their disability. It was also giving them the opportunity to feel more confident when, for example, going for a job interview. It's crucial that we get more visually impaired people into work, because interviews can be very challenging and can be even more challenging when you're trying to prove that your disability isn't going to get in the way of you being part of a workplace.
With the training over, it was time to put all those skills to the test as the speakers were taken to an event at the Scottish Parliament where they had to deliver their speeches in front of an invited audience. First up was Asif Ali Khan.
My name is Asif Ali Khan, and today I'm going to talk to you about my childhood. I'm going to talk to you about how was my life before I lost my sight. Then I'm going to talk to you about when I lost my sight, how was that affecting my life and how the people interacting would change. And finally, I'm going to talk to you about when I came to United.
All the speakers took part in different kinds of sport and leisure activity. And for Asif, his passion was judo and cricket. I wanted to find out why.
I enjoy it as well, and it gave me a chance to meet new friends, but really gave me more confidence and to take that fear away from myself. It's like nothing can stop me to achieve anything.
Always a nervy time being the first one up to do your talk, but I want to know a bit more about Asif and what was the first big thing he noticed when he arrived in the UK from Pakistan?
I think the big thing was change to be educated and to go to school. I think that was really important to become more educated and to have more opportunities. Like, just to be treated equally, no like looking down because I got a disability, so I have no right to go to school.
All the participants talked about the barriers they faced on not just a day-to-day basis, but to employment and to leisure. I asked Asif what he thought was one of the biggest barriers for visually impaired people.
I think to have employment, job opportunities, because so far I heard from my colleague from the speakers just in this morning event, and I think everybody wants to get a job and to just run their life just normally like other people do. I think that would be a big change I would want.
Asif Ali Khan there. Next to deliver her speech was Laura Cluxton.
Good morning, presiding officer, ladies, gentlemen and guide dogs. Today I'd like to speak to you about my journey into cycling. But before I begin, I'd like to answer some frequently asked questions that I get. People probably are sitting here looking at me, looking at the guide dog, thinking, how on earth can she cycle a bike? Well, the answer is I ride on a tandem. So then the next question that I get when I tell people this is, where do you sit? Do you sit in the front or do you sit in the back? I'm not even going to answer that one.
The course has obviously been positive for the young people, but I wanted to find out from Laura what she thought of the training.
It was really good. They made us feel very welcome and included. We learned lots of tips from them. basically all of us spoke too fast. That was the main thing. But loads of other tips, how to change your voice and how to structure your talk and, you know, timing as well. That was quite important.
I think it's safe to say it was a nerve-wracking day for all the participants. But what did Laura think was the best part?
My favourite bit about today was really the whole thing. It was just great to hear everybody else do their talk as well and see how everybody else had improved. And everybody, you know, obviously had their own thing to say, but it was all equally as interesting. And it was great just to see blind people being really positive.
Laura has a great passion for cycling, and I wanted to know, what was it like getting onto a tandem for the very first time?
It gave me a sense of freedom and the wind in the hair sort of feeling, and just great to be outdoors and not have to worry about not being able to see, really. After I began cycling, I just kept wanting to do more and more, joined some cycling clubs, getting more and more miles in, getting fitter and stronger. Then I started entering some time trials. Then I started going to the velodrome and doing some competitions there. And then I just got talent spotted by Scottish Cycling, and it went from there.
So, bitten by the cycling bug, what's next?
I'm still cycling. I'm going to a Great Britain cycling camp down in Wales. It's 4 days. It's a track-focused event. I've got quite a few competitions coming up over the winter on the track. But this GB team that I'm involved in is called the Foundation Team, and our aim is to get onto the performance team and go to Tokyo.
Laura Cluxton there, and good luck with the cycling. Next to the lectern, it was Matthew Clark.
I am here to speak to you today about dreams for parity, equality that I feel in myself and feel here in the Scottish Parliament. Coming here earlier this year as an intern.
From Matthew's speech, we learned that his parents had a very early positive impact on his life.
My parents got me off to the right track on life by going the extra mile, finding support, information, help that enabled them to give me the right habilitation in life. Part of that was letting me roam free even when things went a wee bit wrong. As I said in the speech, when I didn't see the sea and fell off a jetty into it, when I walked away and couldn't see to find them again, or when I ran off and ran headlong into bollards, crash. That was the right thing to do because I was not mollycoddled. I was encouraged to go out and to do things, and that ethos has enabled me to have experiences and challenge myself to take up new ones at every single moment in life. And that leads on very nicely to taking up something like this public speaking course. And when life is so challenging as it is, when you're partially sighted, you need to seize every opportunity to enjoy life, succeed in life, and develop yourself with two hands and not let go.
Despite that positive start for Matthew, finding employment has been difficult.
There are a lot of barriers to employment. Aptitude tests are one that I loathe. Accessibility is a big challenge with them. I strongly feel that aptitude tests prefer characteristics that just aren't synonymous with people who are partially sighted, because we have to be more cooperative. We have to accustomize ourselves with a job by looking for that guidance, looking for that acclimatization a bit more. Aptitude tests prefer self-centered go-getters, frankly, and I feel that this has really held me back from being able to succeed with a lot of graduate jobs. People's expectations of people with disabilities, that's obviously challenging. Them not being able to see and think that we could do the job. So I've not had as many interviews for someone with my experience as I should, frankly. And the greatest challenge, as I suffered while interning at the Parliament earlier this year, access to work not being fit to do its job properly. And if I'd not had Inclusion Scotland and lots of people in the Parliament supporting me, keeping me going, I could have very easily considered leaving the internship.
thanks to Matthew Clark. Now, last, but by no means least, was Michelle Young.
I'm going to talk to you about how habilitation and rehabilitation get us to where we need to be. And I'm going to talk to you about that statistic of more than 75% of blind and visually impaired people who are of working age and are not working. And I'm going to share a little bit about my personal experience with you.
Michelle obviously enjoys speaking in public, but what attracted her to the course?
I am currently unemployed and looking for a job, and as we all know, it's key to improving your CV and adding as much as you possibly can onto your CV that's relevant to your work experience, as the type of work that I do involves a lot of speaking to the public, speaking to groups. I figured, let's be as good at public speaking as we possibly can be, so I was very keen to be part of the course.
As part of Michelle's speech, there were questions for the audience. I wanted to find out why.
The premise of the entire event was to highlight the fact that blind and visually impaired people have a variety of skills and a wealth of experience and knowledge in all different areas. And I wanted to make the audience think about that, not to see the blindness first, but to see somebody they could employ, somebody that they could have in their sports team, somebody that they could volunteer alongside. I wanted people to question what their perceptions of someone who is blind is, and take that forward and take that out into the greater community.
And with the speeches over, what did Michelle hope the audience would take from the event?
Think about what you can do to improve the statistic, that 75% unemployment statistic. Think about what you can do to bring that number down for groups and individual blind and partially sighted people.
Thanks to Michelle Young rounding off today's speeches. And the audience themselves were invited guests. There were friends, family, there were people from the charity sector, local and national government. Robert Mooney is a Glasgow City Councillor, and I asked him what stood out on the day.
I was privileged to attend this today as a Glasgow City Councillor and a visually impaired person myself. It jumped out at you the skills, how articulate the guys were, and the main thing that struck me was that other than Laura, who is a full-time athlete, the other three participants are unemployed, and unfortunately that's just the way it is for people who are blind and have a visual impairment. I think, as they mentioned very succinctly, that 75% of people with a visual impairment are unemployed.
The young people all talked about the difficulties in finding employment, and there were some shocking figures there, which Robert mentioned, but what were the biggest barriers?
There's not enough employers willing to give a blind person the opportunity. And sitting watching the guys today, you would employ any one of them. They were so inspiring, and I don't know why an employer wouldn't employ somebody with the attributes.
With those barriers in mind, what could be done to change the tide?
I've been involved with the trade union movement all my life, and I've been involved with employment for people with disabilities for 40 years, and the figures have barely moved in 40 years, so it doesn't matter what we're trying to do, it doesn't seem to work. But I think just recently I had a meeting with the chief executive of the Wheatley Group, and I said to him, I know that yous are going to have anything between 35 and 50 apprentices every year for the next 5 years. How would you feel about ring fencing them for some people with disabilities? And right away they went 10%. Well, they had the first intake, and actually 16% of that intake had a disability. I've also got a motion going through at the STUC Disability Conference that 10% of all modern apprentices should be ring fenced for young disabled people.
Robert Mooney there, and another enthralled councillor was John Kane from Glasgow City Council. So what did he make of the speeches?
Absolutely sensational. I've had the great privilege of doing some work and being taught by the Speakers Club myself when I get elected as a councillor. And today's output and the performance of the students, those who were receiving all that valuable coaching, it shone through. I thought it was excellent.
Not only was John an audience member, but he did have a hand at the beginning of the project.
Because I'm a Glasgow councillor, I was approached by James Adams, and I then got to meet Stephen, When he told me what his plans were, I was then asked if I could speak to the Speakers Club and facilitate, and also if I could get the use of some rooms at the City Chambers in order to hold the coaching classes. Stephen is a natural-born salesman, so he had no great bother persuading me to get involved and to help.
And with all those powerful speeches, what will John take from the day?
Being a politician, I think the thing that stood out for me today was that each and every one used the opportunity to make a strong political point on behalf of people who have got sight issues. I thought they spoke extremely well, and any politician who was in the room has now, in effect, got a message to go away and see what they can do to help make things better. So they took their opportunity brilliantly.
Sound of Vision took place at the Scottish Parliament in Edinburgh, and the presiding officer for the Parliament, Ken McIntosh, was the host and the master of ceremonies. I wanted to find out why he decided to host this particular event.
Well, first of all, I have to say thanks to Stephen Sutherland for asking that the finale of this course be held here at the Scottish Parliament. As a Parliament, we're always looking to reach out to everybody in Scotland. This is not a building or a Parliament that belongs to MSPs. It belongs to the people of Scotland. And we're trying to make it as accessible as possible. And there are certain communities who we actually have a duty to reach, who actually have barriers in the way to accessing Parliament and politics. And the visually impaired community is one of those. So when I heard Stephen's request, I have to say it was what's called a no-brainer to say yes, and I was delighted to host this event.
It was a successful day, but how did it take shape?
We had four contributors, all of whom spoke so fluently. They had structured speeches with a political message, telling a story, with a few jokes sprinkled in to keep us interested. It was actually a lesson in public speaking, which most of my MSP colleagues and I could have learned from. There was a receptive audience, but the message was one that will resonate throughout Scotland. It was about the challenges that some people have to overcome in accessing what most of us take for granted: employment, a decent income, self-esteem. And what was interesting was that all four contributors, despite very difficult, different backgrounds, all had such commonality of themes about the political situation in Scotland, about the barriers facing them, their own life experience. I was very pleased that there were four MSPs present and four councillors too, and they'll have heard exactly what was said and hopefully will take action upon it.
A major part of Ken's role as presiding officer involves speaking in the debating chamber of the Scottish Parliament. So how does he prepare?
What's interesting is just the word preparation, because that's what it's all about. I don't have any secret tips or recommendations other than do prepare. Don't just stand up and wing it. Don't just think that I'll speak off the top of my head and that will be convincing. If something matters to you, if the audience matters to you, then you should think about that audience. What is it they want to hear? What is it that you're trying to persuade them to do or say? And think about it and work in advance. Now, public speaking is not something that comes easily to most people. In fact, most of us are slightly nervous about it. We can be very worried about being judged, for example. The political forum is a particularly tricky one in the sense that it can be a very combative place to air your views. But in all these situations, if you've got something that's worth saying, then work at it, practice, rehearse, think about it beforehand, and those are the things that stand you in good stead. And if you can overcome your nerves, that's actually even more impressive. People don't really want somebody who is so confident it looks like they don't care. What they actually like is somebody who's slightly nervous. The audience interest matters to them. The audience reaction matters to them. But they've worked at it and they've overcome those fears and they've stood up there on their hind legs and they've got their point across. And people warm to that and they're actually more convinced by that. So a bit of nerves, but preparation.
After hearing the young people deliver their speeches, how would he sum up the presentations?
Well, what we saw today was four young people who had something to say. So they had their own life experience, they had their own wisdom and their own intelligence to bring to bear on their contributions. And when they delivered their speeches, I can tell you absolutely, with all honesty, that those are four of the best speeches I will hear all year in this Parliament. They were properly crafted, they had a point to them, they engaged their audience, and I would say to all four speakers, You have succeeded. You have, whatever your inhibitions or worries about becoming a public speaker or speaking in public, you have already shown that you can overcome those. Not only that, I would say to them, learn from this, either in the workplace, in your own life, or even in the political sphere. Take this and go on, make your point, because your point is worth listening to.
Ken McIntosh, the presiding officer at the Scottish Parliament and host of the Sound of Vision event. Well, we couldn't round things off without giving Stephen Sutherland, the organiser, the creator of the project, the final word.
The whole programme, the whole project, the event in the Scottish Parliament went so smoothly, and it really did exceed my expectations. The Parliament worked with RNIB and the Glasgow Speakers Club superbly, and so I was extremely thrilled with the entire day. I'm extremely proud of all the young speakers and all that they have achieved. They had some nerves going into the event. They controlled their nerves, I think, better than I did, and they managed to really put in some inspiring speeches. It was great to have the MSPs come along, and so to have that for my first attempt at really leading a project was amazing. I'm so delighted. I hope that it can be, in a way, replicated, hopefully, in the future. I hope that RNIB are proud of the event. I hope that the Glasgow Speakers Club are happy of how it went. And I hope that the Parliament had a really good day as well.
And that rounds off a fantastic day at the Scottish Parliament. The speakers have rolled up their speeches, and hopefully the audience have left with some food for thought as well, and perhaps they could inspire more blind and partially sighted young people to deliver the Sound of Vision.